Last Shabbos before Bar Mitzvah.
This is the last Shabbos before Bar Mitzvah.
No, last Shabbos was his Bar Mitzvah.
Oh, was it already? Oh, that's
amazing job. Amazing.
Yeah. Okay, Shalas Nachas. Okay, so we mentioned at the end of last week that just want to go back to the discussion of the very end of the shiur, where we started discussing the question about whether or not one can use miser money to pay for tuition for his children. And just to basically summarize what we said, and maybe add one or two small details, we mentioned that the Chavetz Chaim in Avos Chesed says that definitely not, one cannot pay schar limud for his children from Meiser Ksafim, and he is not mechalek, he doesn't distinguish whether younger children or older children, whether they're learning only Torah Shebiksav or they're already learning Torah Shebalpeh, even though in the Shulchan Aruch it seems that the only absolute chiyuv to pay for a child's limud is Torah Shebiksav. So that we understand, okay, that's a chiyuv, so then the general rule applies that you, something which is a chiyuv upon you, you're not allowed to use your Meiser Ksafim to pay. But paying to educate your children, to teach them Torah Shebalpeh, it's not an absolute chiyuv. It says that if you could afford to do it, then you it's proper that you should. But it's not mamash a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv to try to teach them, but not necessarily to pay for it. So there would be makom to perhaps make a chilek that if you are paying for education of children who are already learning Mishnah and Gemara, Torah Shebalpeh, that you should be able to take it from Meiser Ksafim. However, the Chavetz Chaim is not Mechalik. He just says one rule that L'shalem Mimos Meiser Schar Limud Levinot Lebanav Osul Kuliyama. And the Erech HaShulchan as well. Erech HaShulchan in Simin Reish Mem Tes Sif Chaf also says that one may not use Mos Meiser the Lamed Benot Torah, and he also doesn't distinguish whether it's Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebalpeh. We mentioned one of the Chashev Achronim who does distinguish, does make this exact distinction, is the Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger in the Shalosh Hashuvos Pri Yitzchak, Chelik Beis, Simen Chav Zayin, where he says that only Limud for Torah Shebiksav would be usher, but once the child's learned Torah Shebalpeh, then that would be Mutter to pay for. We also mentioned that it's brought in the Svarim in the name of Rabbi Yashav, and one Sefer brings that it's Kachoru Poskes Manenu, and more general, that if one is able to send his child to Yeshiva A, and there the tuition is a certain amount, but he prefers to send him to another yeshiva. He feels that his chinuch will be superior. Superior. The first yeshiva is also good, but he feels it will be superior in the second yeshiva. And the second yeshiva, the tuition is higher, so he's allowed to take that difference from Meiser Ksafim, because that will look at as not a chiyuv. He could send him to the first yeshiva. By the same token, if that second yeshiva is out of town, or maybe even further out of town, and the travel expenses, there are travel expenses which perhaps wouldn't be in the first yeshiva, or even if there are both yeshivas, the travel expenses, but the travel expenses are greater, whatever it is, he's allowed to take that as well. The travel expenses he's also allowed to take, as that's part of what he has to pay in order to teach the son Torah, and he doesn't necessarily have to send him there. He could send him to another place where he wouldn't have to pay as much. So the difference he could take from Meiser, and the same thing would be if it's a dormitory. Let's say he could keep his son in town, and this is a fine in town yeshiva, but he feels it'd be better for his son to go out of town. He feels he'll steig more, he'll learn more, etc. Maybe the yeshiva is better, or whatever it may be, maybe less distractions, when he goes out of town, maybe he needs a change of chevra, of his circle of friends, whatever it may be. And in the out of town yeshiva, he's going to have to pay room and board, pay for a dorm if he stays in town. So there's no fee for room and board. So he could take that from ice as well. Although the Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat says he has to deduct what it would cost him to keep him home. He keeps him home, he also has to pay, not for his room, but for his board. I mean, he eats food at home. So he's another mouth to feed. So he's been mishayer what the amount of money that he's saving by not having to feed him at home, and that amount he would not take from Isa, but whatever the cost, the extra that it costs to have him situated in the dormitory or a place to board, that could also come from Isa Ksufin.
So they're permitting only to spend money of Maser when it's about your obligations.
When it's not
above
your obligations, correct.
So if you're fulfilling your obligations to a minimum, you can't use Maser money. If you go the extra mile, you can actually.
That's what we're saying. And we'll see maybe some more examples of that soon. Okay, and one more Nakuda. We mentioned a difference of opinion amongst Poskim about a person his son's already in yeshiva, and he wants to hire a Rebbe or a tutor to learn with him extra time, extra limudim. He could learn another mesechta, or he's additional mishnayis. Let's say a younger boy, you need additional mishnayis, whatever it may be, to extra learning. So we saw a difference of opinion in Poskim if that money could come from Maisa. Do we look at it and say, look, if he's capable of learning another mesechta or more mishnayis, so then that's part of my chiyuv to teach him Torah, and that's also considered obligatory? Or do we say, no, that'd be yotzi if I just sent him to yeshiva and he goes to the shiurim or the classes, the siddurim of the yeshiva, I'd be yotze, and it's I don't necessarily have to be mishtadel to get a rebbe to fill in the extra time. Mele, I could take that from Isa, so machlok is poskim on that nekuda. Okay, and the last thing to mention is, and I mentioned this at the very end last week as well, that Rav Moshe Zatzal says that one may not use Maisik Sufin for Schar Lima, for tuition, as long as there's mandatory education, both for a boy and for a girl. Even for a girl, where there's no chiyuv of Talmud Torah, of course a person certainly has to be mechanich his daughter in Kiyum HaMitzvahs and in Hashkafas HaTorah and Musar HaTorah, etc., etc., but there's no chiyuv per se of Talmud Torah on a girl. However, says Rav Moshe, if you live in a place where there's obligatory education, you have to send it to school, to some form of school, and if you're not going to pay to send it to the Beis Yaakov, then you'd have to send her to public school, and that's not an option for a from family, because in public school not only won't she get the education she needs, but unfortunately more than it's much 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 more than likely that she will receive
the opposite,
right, without going into exactly. So therefore Mimela becomes a chiyuv. It becomes part of the chiyuv of raising a Torah child and being is to send her to a Yiddish school, a from school, and Mimela, whatever they're charged, you have to pay for. Once she's beyond the age, whether it's 16 or whatever the age is, where the authorities, the government, requires one to send their child to educate the child in a formal manner. Once you're beyond that, then if you continue to send her to Beis Yaakov or whatever seminary in order to enhance her Yiddishkeit, but that's already something that's not necessarily obligatory. You could do it at home or whatever it may be. So that you would be allowed to take from Maaser Ksufin.
Sorry, in the first part, it's not allowed. So if education is mandatory by law, and he has to choose between public school and from school, he has to pay with his own money, not Maaser.
That's what
just because of the obligation.
That's where Moshe Feinstein writes in the shul, yes. Famous shul. Okay. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the topic of using Maaser for various mitzvahs. We spoke in general about the idea of, although the prime purpose of Maaser was for aniyim and for people that are osik in Torah, but we said it is nohog, especially if a person stipulates when he first undertakes the obligation, then it's nohog and common to use it for mitzvahs such as local Torah organizations, Torah life, such as funding the mikveh and other things like that. But what I want to talk more now is about a person's fulfilling a mitzvah, his own mitzvah. Could you use Maaser money to? Are there ways, are there circumstances where you could fulfill mitzvahs with your own Maaser money?
Two questions. Sorry, if a school says it's not, you don't have to pay the money; it's a donation. Can you use Maaser then?
Oh, so okay. So if the school honestly would accept your child, whether it's a person's child because that person self can't afford tuition, or if they really have such a policy, they live in the utopia world where the school has plenty of money and they don't need anybody's tuition. You want to give tuition? We'll accept it. It'll help. We'll put it away for the future or whatever it is. And you choose to pay. Then you can use it. You're not paying for your son's education. You can be another. And for that matter, I should explain. If a person is offered a scholarship, which many people will apply for a scholarship, and they will many people will be granted such scholarship, and then the person wants to give. Indeed, als nidvas alei, if he wants to give more to the school, then that certainly can take from my beyond the even though full tuition is more than what he's paying, and the amount even with the extra that he's giving, he's still not reaching full tuition, but he's not obligated in full tuition. He's obligated in whatever the schum, whatever the amount is that they're requiring of him. So anything he gives above that, he could take from us. And there's another dekuda also that even a person that is paying full tuition, that person that doesn't qualify for a scholarship, but if he could find out from the school what the real cost of educating his child is, meaning to say that schools, since many parents can't afford to pay what would be required to educate their child, if they made an actual cheshbon of dividing up all their expenses and the rebbeim and everything else that goes into running the school, dividing up by the number of students, it would come out to a certain figure. But many people can't afford that figure. Many people are getting a scholarship beneath that figure. So therefore, the full tuition is higher than that number. They charge more than that number so that the people who can afford to pay will fill in some of the slack for the people that are getting scholarships. So really, also that, if you could find out from you speak to the school administrator, you call them over for a little private meeting and say, I'm paying full tuition. Now, tell me the truth. What would you really, if everybody was paying full tuition, what would you be charging? Now you're charging X thousands of dollars. What would you really have to charge if everybody's paying full tuition? And he says it would be X minus Y. So, but you, the Y part that you are paying, that you're asking for you, is so that you can fill in for them. So then that's really tzedakah. That's tzedakah. You're helping them, the school, educate your neighbor's child. So that also you could take from Maaser. That difference you can take from Maaser. Yes.
Interest loophole.
Yeah. Well, loophole. I don't know. Okay.
I'd assume you could use Maaser for bar mitzvah lessons. Unless that's teaching Torah Shulatzav.
Bar mitzvah lessons.
I was wondering about that too.
Yeah,
a
little late for
since
you.
Since you mentioned bar mitzvah.
Actually, too late, but I had to stipulate it before. Which I would have had to stipulate it before.
Well, let's see. Let's think about it for a moment. Bar mitzvah lessons. Typically, bar mitzvah lessons, not teaching the child how to, Torah Shabbat Etzim, like how to understand it, what the psukkah mean. You really just teach them how to lane it from a Sefer Torah.
It's not really required, actually. The laning isn't required.
Right. I don't know if that's part. I don't think it's part of the chiyuv of a father to tell a son, because especially nowadays we don't learn out of a Sefer Torah. So when we learn Torah Shabbat, we don't have to learn it with the trup. We typically don't learn it with the trup. So and especially a good part of bar mitzvah lessons, also the bar mitzvah teacher like disciplining him to helping him to memorize it and reviewing it with him and et cetera. So. The question is, and that's something you don't have to offer your son. Not every boy lanes. Not every boy does that. And it wouldn't sell the car. Yeah, I'm pretty good at that.
You have to have that in mind before the bar mitzvah lesson start, or even after the fact?
somebody could take a name after the fact, because it's maybe a little bit more, but it's a legitimate usage. You offered your son something which he didn't have to. Okay, so the Chavetz Chaim discusses using Maaser money as for free loans, a gemach, loaning your Maaser money which is designated for Maaser, loaning it to other people. And first he says that that's mechard should be mutter, even if the money essentially remains yours, meaning. Not talking about donating it to a gemach that's already there. He has a donation to the gemach, and you never see the money again. Not even talking about that. Even if you sort of have your own, you make your own private gemach, and you loan the money to people that are in need, but the money remains yours. So that the mashal after 120 years, the money goes to the yarshim of the person whose meiser was, and they can do whatever they want with it. That's it. In other words, it's only during his lifetime he's doing this mitzvah, the mitzvah of Havas and Kesef Tal Vesami. He's doing the mitzvah of loaning money to people. Typically, they're going to be people that are needy, and usually those. And even if they're people that aren't necessarily always needy, but if right now they have they're in financial need, so some of that would be considered a niyam also. That's what I'm saying. So and b'chan, certainly it's a mitzvah. Certainly it's l'chol ha'pach is a mitzvah. So Chavetz Chaim, first he starts by saying l'chol you should be able to do that, and as I said, the money would remain yours, and you could borrow it yourself if you needed to. But just that he stipulates that if you did borrow it yourself, and then a needy person came and wanted a loan, you should then borrow against it and to make sure that you're able to loan him money. But that's his first step. But he says it's not so posh, and he's not 100% certain that you could do it that way. But he says, but if you make it in a way that it's not your money, it's completely more fresh for a gemach. That's it. This money is permanently gemach, meaning even this, you know, after the person passes, he won't go to Yarshim. It'll remain gemach money, whether he gives it over to another gemach or whether he sets up his own system of loaning the money, but in a way that the money is completely mufresh and he's not taking it back like other, you know, mice of money that he gives to stock or something, which of course he's not taking back. Then he wants to say that's more pashut, that should be mutter to do. Now, for two reasons. So first, he's just looking at a mitzvah. Again, mitzvah, since we're noeg, and many people are noeg, certainly if they stipulate, many people are noeg to do mitzvahs with their mice of money. So this is a mitzvah. And then, so even without calling it, even if we won't call a loan a form of tzedakah, but again, he's mistopic sas. He's, maybe he says maybe you shouldn't do that unless you did specifically stipulate. But he goes on and he says, Lefi, the sheet of the Rambam, which is the Shulchan Aruch Pashas and Siman Reish Mem Tes Vav, loaning money is a form of tzedakah. That is mitzvah tzedakah. So memela shemuti, even if you're using your tzedakah money only for your ma'aser money only for tzedakah, not for mitzvah, but this is tzedakah, at least according to the Rambam and the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. He says the Ramban learns differently. And even there, though, he's not really so comfortable to give it a blanket blanket haskama unless the person is masne meirosh. Masne meirosh, he should be able to use it for such purposes. So it's very interesting to read. Look, if you look in the Avos Chesed in the second chelik, Perek Yud Ches, where in the top in the Haggah, he's like, back and forth, he's being very, very cautious. And the bottom line is he wants you to be masna, make it tonight that you should be able to use it for this. But I saw a number of sarim bring down that if you are using it for gemach, meaning that, let's say you are masna, so lav davka that you have to loan the cash itself. If there's a need and you want to invest it in some whatever it may be, some item which people could borrow and make a gemach out of that would be mutter as well. I saw they say for tzedakah mishpat. Says like this, and it's also the Sefer Baruch Tzedakah brings this from Rabbi Yashiv, and we see that there are many many people in the from communities have gemachs for tables and chairs, and gemachs for whatever, all sorts of some for health needs for people, health accessories, and all sorts of things. There are gemachs for all sorts of items, so that could be done also as a using my suksafim. Okay, now the. We spoke briefly a couple of times ago, but I want to go back to it now, about what about to buy Svarim from Maaser Kesafim. So there's a Taz and a Shach that both say, they bring a Tshuvas Rabbi Menachem, that it's Mutter. Mutter Likno Svarim Mos Maaser, to learn Lumod Behem, to learn from them yourself, and to loan them to others. The Lashon there is Im Lo Haya Osa HaMitzvah B'Lav Hachiv. It's something that you wouldn't be doing otherwise. You wouldn't or couldn't be spending your own money on this. So you could buy Svarim for Maaser money and make them available, even though you'd be keeping it in your own house, according to this Tzad, you'd be keeping it in your own house, and you certainly get Hanah from it, but it would be available to other people too, and the fact that you sort of have first dibs, because it's in your house, you're able to use it whenever you want, that's just Tovas Hanah, and the Tzad says, there's nothing wrong with getting Tovas Hanah from tzedakah money. It's always that way, a person gives tzedakah money, or it's frequently, he'll get some sort of side benefit from giving it tzedakah money. He may have donated money to a yeshiva, and who may be a more than a one-time donor, and as a result, when he has a son that's of age to and he wants him to become accepted at yeshiva, he'll have a much easier time possibly than somebody else, or certainly if his son is roi, just that there are a lot of people that are roi and they can only accept, they don't have room for everyone, so someone who's a regular donor is likely to get the Tovas Hanah of his tzedakah by having his son accepted as a Talmud Yeshiva, and that's an example, which is, again, there are many examples of Tovas Hanah. So that, the Taz says that there's nothing wrong with that, of getting the Tovas Hanah from it. Now, the Taz writes, though, that the person should write in the Sefer that it came from Maaser money. So he says, Shelo Yavo Banav Lahachzikim La'atzman. So his children shouldn't come to take it for themselves. So the Sefer Nachla Shiva explains the Taz to mean that what he means, the children shouldn't like take full possession of it and put it on the shelf and no longer make it available to anyone. If for the children to do what he did, meaning to keep it at home and continue to use it when they want it and loan it, that's fine. But in order that they shouldn't mistakenly think it's just their father's private property and therefore, make it no longer available to other people, that to avoid that, the Taz says you should write in it that it was purchased with Maaser money. Now, there are Achronim that are Cholik with this. The Sefer Be'er Sheva, is an early Achron, is Cholik. He's Cholik for the following reason. This is something we did not mention in the past, that we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah of writing a Sefer Torah. Va'ata kisru lachem es ha-shira hazos v'lam des b'nei Yisrael sim b'befim. It's a pasuk at the end of Sefer Devarim. And so that mitzvah is a chov to write a Sefer Torah. So the Rush says that one could fulfill that mitzvah, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, by writing or by purchasing Svarim. You purchase even printed Svarim. Nowadays, we learn essentially from Svarim, not straight from a Sefer Torah. And the kavana behind the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is that a person should have Sefer Torah in order to be available for learning. So it's more practical to buy Svarim, Sefer that we actually learn from. And you Mekayim, the Rosh says, and the Chafetz Chaim brings us down in a place that it's a key of the mitzvah of writing of Kisul Lechemes Hashiras, as writing Sefer Torah. So Memela says the Sefer Be'er Sheva, so it's a chova now. So it's a chova to buy these Svarim, because you're fulfilling, that's how you are fulfilling your obligation of writing Sefer Torah. Memela, you shouldn't use Maaser Kesafim for that. That's what the Sefer Be'er Sheva said. The Aruch HaShulchan also, in Siman Reish Mem Tes Sif Yud, says that one cannot buy Svarim. He doesn't understand the Achronim that say it's okay. He says, why is it different than buying a Tefillin or a Shofar or an Esrog? He said, from Maaser Kesafim, which he's taking as a Dvar Pashut, you can't do that. You can't go buy yourself an Esrog from Maaser Kesafim. You have a Chiyuv to obtain an Esrog, and we'll get to that in a minute. But so as Pashut, you can't use Maaser Kesafim for that, so why should buying a Sefer be any better? This is the Aruch HaShulchan's Kasha. And I saw as well brought down in the Sefer Baruch Tzedakah brings from Eliyashiv that nowadays that Svarim are very matsui, and it's not that great of a benefit for a person to buy a Sefer and say, it's available if anyone wants to borrow, because the Svarim are very matsui, meaning many people can afford to buy themselves, and even those that can't, but there are Batei Medrash, there even in this community, it's not the largest community, but there are a number of shuls and yeshivas where they have besides Shasin and of course in Shulchan Aruch the Mishnah Berurah and many other Shor Rishonim, Achronim, etc. So they're available, and certainly you know in larger communities there could be you know numerous places where you could buy such a sefer. Now, not to mention that nowadays you can get stuff online. You can get Svarim from various websites online, and much of it is for free. I mean, maybe you won't get a whole sefer at a time, but you'll get, you know, you'll get what you need. So, Rabbi Ashiv says that it's not, one shouldn't do that. If you're going to keep the sefer in your house, you shouldn't use Ma'aser Ksavim to buy Svarim that you keep in your house. If you want to buy a sefer for a shul, or buy a sefer for a base medrash, so then that's no different than any other tzarech mitzvah. That if you use your ma'aser money for tzarech mitzvah, just like you're buying the shul, whatever it may be, you're paying for the, you know, for the tissue boxes in the shul, or you're paying for whatever, you know, the electric bill of the shul, you say paying for a svarim for the shul, a shul or base medrash, but that's one of the needs, and then that you can do.
Is it better to pay for svarim for a shul than pay for tissue boxes?
tissue boxes. So is it better?
You need tissue boxes, but you know, you are learning from the Svarim, so it's more
correct. Right. This is a famous fact from Chaim Velazhna, right? Where the case where a person once drove up to his house raising money, and he came in a nice with a horse and a whatever horse and wagon, you know, and looking very chashiv, and he drove up to the house of a gvir. And the Gvir was a little bit put off that, so I'm going to give my money to the, he was raising money for the yeshiva. I'll give my money to the yeshiva and it's going to go to, you know, to feed your horse. Or, you know. So I think he told him, well, it depends on your taras hakavana. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he says, well, the people that are mechaven, you better write from a posuk. They give to the svarim, that's what they want. Their money will taka go to that, and know that I'm mechaven for the horse. And
okay, so it does seem right that it is a bigger schus. For that, but unless they need a sponsor, you know, especially Yom Zarav, and it's very cold, especially here, very cold, and we measure them, and they need a number of tissue boxes, people in shul for many hours, and if they need they need somebody to sponsor that, everywhere. Okay. Yeah,
so according to the Rav, the Chiyuv would never stop to buy Svarim.
That's a very good point. Meaning, he's saying if I have enough. Well, the thing is though, if you're talking about Svarim, which he's buying Svarim which he wants to use for himself. That's what we're talking about. So Mimela needs that to learn from. So Lachara, yes, unless... Now, I guess you could argue, well, just like the next guy could get the Sefer in Shul, so could I. You know, why do I have to buy every single Sefer? And Lachara, you don't have to do that, right? You don't have to buy every single Sefer available. Svarim which you also could have easy access to, Lachara, you shouldn't have to buy. So, okay, so Lachara, that would be a horror on the, you know, on the Be'er Sheva's Taina, but then they would get into the other point. Rabbi Yashin points, so okay, you're not necessarily doing the biggest service to Klal Yisrael either by buying the Sefer because it's so accessible.
We said that we can't use Masik Kesafim for Tefillin. When someone was asking, you know, you get Tefillin for $800 or $2,800. Okay. So okay. Let's say the father buys for $2,800, let's say, for the son, can you use the difference in between the what's...
Excellent. Okay, so next topic, or next, we can start right now. We'll talk about that right now, about tefillin or, let's say, an esrog, right? You can go to the esrog store and buy an esrog for a certain price, or you can pay twice that price or three times that price and get a nicer esrog. So what is the din about using, about doing that? So to start with this, so the basic... For the basic chefs of the mitzvah, the Svarim say that you cannot buy, even though technically many of these things you don't even necessarily have to own. Like an esrog, you don't have to own if you live in a firm community, you go to shul. So the shul itself very likely has an esrog which for the tzibur, and or if the shul doesn't, but the guy next to you and on both of your right and your left, there are plenty of lulav and esrogim around Baruch Hashem, and you can get a matam and asla hachzir, so you don't really have to buy one. But nonetheless they still say it's us. Just so the Sefer Leket Yosha says, so he says it's him Dvarim Shel Yerusha, which means mum, which means even though you don't have to buy one, but when you do buy one, so it becomes it's your personal property. You've now gained something which there's not the great, such great Yerusha and Dalad Minim because they don't last that long. But hopefully, I mean, you know, tefillin certainly, many people get tefillin b'Yerusha from you know, Zetas or parents, or even Talisim. That's so the Dvar Mishnah Yerusha. So it sounds like even though you could get it from someone else, but Lemaisa, once you buy it, it becomes your personal property. And others explain also, I think in the Sefer Shaarei Tzedek, it's not that common to loan or to lend people tefillin on a regular basis. You do sometimes, you'll have a tefillin gemach or etc. But it's not the simplest thing. Especially a tefillin has to fit, right? The Chorim talk about this very strongly, that a person has to be careful not to rely, unless he goes to travel somewhere, doesn't bother taking his tefillin along. Say, I'll borrow a pair there. You'll borrow a pair. Who says you're going to find the shel rosh that fits your head? So you'll adjust it. Who says the owner's going to want you to adjust it, or that you'll know exactly how to adjust it, and then to adjust it back, you know, set it back to his. So it's not so pushy to borrow tefillin. It's not that, you know, not as common. And even a talus, it's not, well, in the shul it might be a little bit easier to get it, but sometimes the shul talisim tend not to be in the best condition, and many times the shuls sometimes just have a limited number of talisim, shuls or kolalim yeshiva especially, which they need for the bali tefillah who are not married perhaps, or people get aliyahs, and so it's not the simplest thing. So lemaisa, the bottom line, it says to buy the basic talis, tefillin, esrog, shofar, v'chulu, should not be done with ma'os maisa, like the Aruch HaShulchan takes for a pashtus. There is, I will mention, there's one of the Achron who is Mekel, that's the Chavaz Yar in his Sefer Makar Chaim, which is a Sefer that he has on Aruch Chaim. He says that it's mutter liknos esrog u'shar chevet shel mitzvah mimaiser, just not a mitzvah shebegufo. You can't buy your chalent and your gefilte fish for Shabbos. That you can't use maiser money for. Something that's going to mitzvah, that you're going to, food that you can ingest, and something that's going to use, and your goof is going to be nana directly from, and that you can't, that he's maskim, you can't take from maiser ksavim. But Rav Acharim say even the other mitzvahs you should not.
If you know a person that they actually need money, you want to help them, and they sell, let's say, cakes, you're buying it just to help them, not because you want the cake. Can you use maaser money from that?
Well, so if you, I don't think so, unless you then give it to someone else, or give it to someone who could use it, or if you would buy a cake anyway at a lower price, and I'll buy the cake from him. He charges more. I'll patronize him so that he could get the business.
So the difference,
right? The difference you could take is that's really no need. But otherwise, if you buy a cake, which Lemaisa you wouldn't have bought, but now you bought it, and now you bought it and enjoying it. So even there, probably you could still take the difference of what you could have gotten elsewhere. Because we say you can't take it from Maisa. Lemaisa, you got the cake and you're enjoying the cake. Okay, but for that I could have paid $5. He's charging $7. So even the $2 you could always you could take, but not the $5. Okay, the question is, what about, the question was asked before, what about the fehidur mitzvah? What about if I buy more than the basic? So first of all, there is one level of hider mitzvah that really you're supposed to pay. The Gemara says hider mitzvah at shlish. You're supposed to pay a third more for hider mitzvah, which means if I could get a kosher pair of tefillin for whatever the price is, so I'm supposed to invest a third more than that to buy a nicer pair of tefillin. Or I could buy an esrog. The cheapest esrog that he's selling in the esrog mocha is selling with kosher. Cheapest kosher esrog that I could walk away biyotzibs lechatchila is, let's just say, $50, just for argument's sake. So I should spend at least, I should add a third to that and buy
65.
One.
So you should spend $65.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Don't buy the cheapest one. Buy hider mitzvah shlish. So most say that, so that much you shouldn't take from Iser still, even the extra, that extra. But what about beyond that? What about, I'll invest more than a shlish more to buy even a nicer pair of tefillin or a nicer esrog. So there's a big deal in the Chorim. So some say you still should not do that. Some of the poskim say, and there are different reasons given. But lemaisa, there are many gedolei achram say it's mutter. And in fact, Reb Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv, and some others they tied it that's pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara Baba Kamet says that ad shlish mishalcha, up to a third, comes from you. Yosi mishlish mishal kadosh baruch hu. It comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. So they say that means from your Meiser money. That's what more means. Yos Mishlish, but what do you mean Shalach Kodesh? But the money that you're supposed to earmark for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, meaning the Meiser, that you use Yos Mishlish, that put in more than a Shlish. So the extra amount, they're saying that you can take from Maaser money. This is what many Achronim say. I saw they bring down from Shlomo Arbach that he says that in Halachah Shlomo brings this that you should decide when you go to the Esrog. So you decide what's my limit? How much I'm spending from Esrog? You know, before you walk in, you know they're going to have all different prices. So it's like, you know, honestly, this is as much as I'm willing to spend from my pocket. Excuse me, then if you find an Esrog which is more expensive than that and nicer and more expensive, you could buy it and use the extra from Maaser. Once you decided your limit, I presumably he's talking about that your limit already includes Shlish, that you're not picking the number that's, you know, the rock bottom number. You already decide, okay, I'll spend certainly whatever, I'll spend this much, which includes already my chi of Hidur, but more than that, I'm not going to spend. So then if you could pitch in from your Maaser money to buy a more expensive, just to be clear that there are chalkim, there are different svaras why some chalkim say that you shouldn't do it even for the Hidur. But there are, as I said, there are many mekilim.
So if, let's say, I'm going to send my kid to a yeshiva, and the other yeshiva, it's between that third, that extra 30%, can I deduct it, or it's also subject?
Well, if that's called hider mitzvah, to send your child to a better yeshiva, is that hider mitzvah ashlish? I don't know, but then what you're saying is, everyone should be chayv to do that. Everyone should chayv to try to get the child into that better yeshiva, even if the tuition is, I mean, a third more in tuition could be quite a lot of money. I never heard either mitzvah shlish applying to that. I don't know if that's either mitzvah. It's talking about like a chefetz shel mitzvah. I don't know, like in a service. I mean, you're not buying the Rebbe or the whatever it is. You're paying for services. I know. It's something to think about. I never heard that the idea of hider mitzvah being applied in that sense. So the truth, and the way, as I said earlier, the way it's brought down from number of gedolim is that that you could take whatever it costs more to send your son to the better yeshiva, you could take from Isaac.
What age is giving master start? Bar mitzvah,
or what? Or later or earlier?
20?
So just to be clear, we said earlier at the first week that it's not a chi of gomer, it's a minig tov, but who should do it? Yeah, it's a very good thing for a person from bar mitzvah once he gets. Now, assuming he doesn't need the money to support himself, I mean, a bar mitzvah boy, if he has to pay for his own clothes and food, certainly based on his bar mitzvah gifts and stuff, then he probably is begeder ani, and probably can't, unless he has really rich relatives who give him big checks. But otherwise, he's probably not chayv mitzvah meiser. But a boy is being supported by his parents, and he gets extra money, he gets bar mitzvah money, he gets birthday money. It's the right thing to do. But it's a good time to make a tzai and say that accepting to give meiser. Not bully neither, but and also giving it with the understanding that I could use it for all forms of, for the broader definition, you know, for all forms of tzarchei mitzvah. Let's say I said tzarchei mitzvah, which we said, not, I don't mean the lulav and the aser, but the tzarchei mitzvah we spoke about before of contributing to the mikveh and whatever, buying svarim possibly, these types of things. That's not that you should be able to give it the meiser, not davka taniyim et alam de Torah, but to anything else that's acceptable. It's good to make that tzai.
Apparently, all the gifts were received before actually the bar mitzvah, then those are all accepting.
Oh.
Say it again.
If all the bar mitzvah money was received before he was actually bar mitzvah, then all those gifts, even before bar mitzvah, but he was given it before he was bar mitzvah, then that's all exempt, I guess, right?
Well, it's an exempt. Again, the word exempt is not, I don't know if it's the best word to use here.
Because he received it before he was bar mitzvah.
Right, okay. Well, he was doing mitzvahs before he was bar mitzvah also, right?
Right.
Mitzvahs don't start at 13. Maybe the chi of gomer starts at 13. But this anyway is not a chi of gomer.
Right, right. So.
Okay, let's see what we're holding here. Okay, so I'll go back to one more point that we touched on a couple of weeks ago, but I want to just elaborate a little bit more, and that is, we mentioned, there's a taz that says that if a person pledges something in a shul, let's say they're selling an aliyah or something like that. So the Taz says that if you stipulate in advance, that you're going to pledge from your ma'isik safim, then you can take it from ma'isik safim. You need to stipulate, otherwise you can't take it from ma'isik safim. On that, Rabbi Akiva Eger brings from the Shalah HaKadosh that even so, if they're bidding for something, so you could only take from ma'isa the amount that you outbid the next one. He already bid $100 and you bid $180, so you can only take $80 from Meister because that's all they're gaining. They were going to get $100 from the last guy. So because you're getting the schus now for this aliyah, or this keeper, because you would bid an additional $80, so fine. So that's what the shul benefits, so only that can be taken from Meister. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eger says. And I wrote down the Ksav Sefer Paskins this way, Lamaisa as well, and in terms of more contemporary posts, Rabbi Yashiv is quoted in the Sefer Baruch Tzedaka that he passed this way, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov in the line Mipia Shmua, he bring it's brought in the actual Sefer, but beneath the line it says Kach Yesh Lahoros Lamaisa, like Rabbi Akiva Eger. There are Cholkim that you should only take from Meiser the additional amount, the amount that you outbid the other one, not the amount that he was going to give anyway. There are Cholkim. The Elio Rabba writes that on the Shla Ein Dvar of Mechrachim, and there's a tshuva I saw brought down in the Shefer Shari Tzedek. Shalos tshuvas Rabbi Yedidja Tia Vial, the son of the Karban Nasanel, who is Rabbi Nasanel Vial, that he says. Oh, the Medayik that the Taz doesn't know like this. The Taz doesn't say this. The Taz just says, if you're masna that you're going to take it from Meister, you can take it from Meister. He doesn't say only the additional part. So the Medayik that the Taz is cholik and says this, says the Rabbi Dijavail, that Azlina Basar HaMinog, the Minog Kedivri HaTaz, Azlina Basar HaMinog. We follow the Minog, the Minog is like the Taz. Vidivri HaKadosh HaShalah, Einuela Mishnas Chasidim Velolidina. It's a madrega to only take the additional amount, but it's not ladina. That's what these gedolim say. But as mentioned before, we have the psak from Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Yaakov and except server paskin that you should be knowing that way. But and what we touched on this before, and they say that if everybody's pledging for mice, like if you know that the next guy next to you is pledging mice, or the way that Archsucker brings from this in Karelitz, if they announced it beforehand that all the pledges could be for mice, and you know that that's what people are doing, so then you could take the whole amount, because his pledge is also for mice, his initial pledge is for mice, so it's no gar that, yeah, I'm only benefiting the shul, but this way mice, so his $100 will stay in the general mice account, then my $100 for mice will go to the shul, so then if it happens that way, then you could take the full amount. Okay, we'll hold it here. What I want to get still go to Beis Hashem is talking about shul membership or seats in the shul. That's a shul. Many people ask, could that come from Meiser? And what about a raffle? If you have a raffle, Chinese auction, or raffles, these are mamash kamash shilas. Hope that we'll discuss these, Beis Hashem, maybe next week.